It can help to know a thing or two about what to cook when vegetarians come to dinner. Enter Celia Brooks Brown. She's one of the first highbrow vegetarian chefs and the author of the cookbook Party Food for Vegetarians. She told Ann Strange Chimps vegetarian cuisine is still overcoming the stigma of the past.
You know, it still has this awful kind of socks and sandals stigma attached to it. And I'm really up against it trying to shake off that bad image because, as a matter of fact, I like to indulge as much as anybody. And just because you're a vegetarian doesn't mean that you don't like to absolutely, you know, just relish your food and eat wonderful flavors and, you know, enjoy wine and all the rest of it.
We had this kind of debate in my office a little earlier. I said that I thought most people are either vegetarian or familiar with vegetarian food or cook vegetarian food about half the time without really even thinking about it. And my office mate says, no, she thinks there are a lot of people who, when told vegetarians are coming to dinner, still think, what?
That's absolutely true. I think certainly more and more people are consciously deciding perhaps to eat less meat, and other people won't even realize that they're enjoying a mushroom risotto or something and there doesn't happen to be any meat in it. I had some carpet fitters around my house recently who, when I told them what I did, they said, really? I've never tried vegetarian food. And I thought, I'm sure you have. Haven't you ever had spaghetti with tomato sauce? Or, you know, it's funny how people's attitudes are a bit confused about it.
So what do you cook if you're wanting that kind of meaty flavor and texture, something that feels and tastes really robust, really strong? What do you cook then?
Well, I draw a lot of my inspirations from some of the ancient vegetarian cultures of the world, namely India, where, you know, with a population of 1 billion people, approximately 80% of them are Hindu. And, you know, traditionally, Hindus are totally vegetarian and have been for centuries. And, you know, you can find some incredibly sophisticated recipes from that culture. And, you know, with all the spices going on and wonderful textures of vegetables and combining that with grains and, you know, you'll find that it's a whole kind of flavor experience and you won't notice that. You'll feel satisfied, certainly, and just enjoy the whole experience of eating it.
Like what? Is there one in particular in this new book that you'd recommend?
Well, actually, yeah, there is a there's quite a lot of influence from India in the book.
Which surprised me because I think of Indian food as something that takes hours and hours to cook because it's got, you know, 14 different spices.
That's right. Well, some of the authentic dishes do. This is a really surprising, although very authentic, curry from Kerala in South India. And it's not suitable for vegans because it contains eggs and yogurt, which makes the curry sauce very thick and delicious. But that's an amazingly easy dish to prepare. It's surprisingly good. And as I say, you don't have to shop in any specialist stores or anything. And, you know, it's easy and satisfying.
What's in it?
It's a lot of ginger, onions, some mustard seeds, which you pop first in the oil. You add ginger and onions and garlic and fresh tomatoes, some cumin seeds, some turmeric, which makes it a bright yellow color. And then you just stir in some hard-boiled eggs, let them heat through, then stir in some yogurt, and that's it.
Yum.
It's really good.
Another way I would guess vegetarian cuisine must have changed over the years is that the increasing availability of what you could call exotic mm-hmm. vegetables and exotic fruits. I mean, I just paging through your book, I noticed, you know, you use pomegranate molasses at one point. I don't even know what pomegranate molasses is.
Right. Well, you know, it's kind of hard writing a book for the world market because you do want to inspire people to be adventurous, but you also don't want to write recipes that must have an ingredient that is kind of difficult to find. So pomegranate molasses is this exquisite condiment, which is just highly concentrated, pure pomegranate juice. It's really sweet and sour. It's very much like a balsamic syrup. So if you can't find that ingredient, you can use balsamic vinegar or balsamic syrup.
What do you do with it?
Pomegranate molasses, if you do buy a bottle of it, it's just wonderful, drizzled over white cheese like goat's cheese, feta cheese, fantastic stirred into hummus as well, and just, you know, to make the dip a little bit more exotic.
Wow. You've also got some tofu recipes, which I found sort of intriguing. I have to confess, I've never really warmed up to tofu. I always think of tofu as like eating little tasteless pillows of foam.
Uh-huh.
But you've got these broiled tofu and mango skewers, and I think you do a couple of other things.
Yeah.
So does this tofu actually taste of something?
I aim to convert the tofu despiser like you with these recipes. Basically, the rule with tofu is you have to give it a little bit of tender, loving care. You need to apply forces to it, apply flavors to it, cooking and flavor to make it into something really delectable. No, it's not going to be nice just out of the packet and on the plate, but it has these fantastic properties of absorbing flavor and taking on texture. So a little bit of frying, a little bit of marinating, and you really have something completely different from what you began with.
Are there dishes you think of as vegetarian comfort food?
Well, my first worldwide published book, New Vegetarian, was much more of a basic book that had quite a lot of real comfort food recipes in it, like vegetarian bangers and mash.
What's bangers and mash?
Well, that's vegetarian sausages with mashed potato and an onion and thyme gravy. Certainly that gravy and potato thing is lovely in winter, and you can replace the meat with, you know, maybe a really gorgeously fleshy portobello mushroom that you just drizzle with olive oil, a little bit of garlic, maybe some truffle oil, which is incredibly rich, rich in the just delicious sense of the word. That just roasted in the oven has a really satisfying texture. That with the gravy and the mashed potato is fantastic. Eggplants are another thing that take on a really nice meaty texture when roasted in the oven and have it with a nice rich sauce. And, you know, I think definitely look to the world of carbohydrates for that kind of comfort food. I know they're getting that's becoming a dirty word these days. But, yeah, we need our carbohydrates for a healthy life.
You do a lot of also small meals, small courses.
That's right.
And I didn't know if that's just personal preference or if you're deliberately trying to get away from the entree and two vegetables kind of shape of a meal.
Well, I certainly ask people to think outside of the starter main dessert box when they're entertaining. I've looked to the Mediterranean really for inspiration in menu planning because the way they eat in the Mediterranean is just so laid back and they really know a thing or two about how to enjoy their food. And a typical Mediterranean kind of spread of meze or tapas or whatever, it's lots of little things, different textures and flavors, a lot of them strong flavors, lots of olive oil, but very simple, often just making the most of one really wonderful ingredient like aubergine, eggplant, or, you know, chickpeas or something like that. So it's a suggestion. That chapter, which is called Small Courses, it's a suggestion. You can either use any of the dishes in the chapter as a starter. You can use any of them as just one very, very light meal. Or maybe if you want to be a little bit more adventurous, try selecting 3, 4, 5, even 6 of the dishes in that chapter as a big spread of small bits. And I think people generally appreciate flavor more if they're not kind of, if their taste isn't extinguished with one heavy meal. It's a much, much more interesting way of eating.
So design a spread like that now for us. Let's say we're going to have, instead of a regular main course, two vegetables, dessert kind of thing for people who are coming over, we're going to do 6 small courses. What should we do?
Okay, well, how about starting with a really spicy kind of soup that will wake up the palate, a beetroot and coconut soup, which is again inspired by Kerala in South India. So something like that to start. It's a vibrant color, really wakes up the palate. Move on to a very simple avocado with a ginger spiked dressing. Ginger and avocado are amazing together. Again, so simple to prepare. Then how about moving on to a wonderful cheese that you've found at a fantastic cheese shop, or even at the supermarket, a ripe camembert or brie that you can put in the oven and it becomes an automatic fondue, and have that with some bread that you found in the market. Or there's a recipe for a no-knead honey seed bread in the book, and I also explain how to do that cheese thing. And I also encourage people to, when you're planning a menu, go out, see what's available before you plan your menu. You know, shop for seasonal vegetables, shop first and see what's good in terms of produce, and then make your decision about what you're going to cook.
Celia Brooks Brown is the author of Party Food for Vegetarians and New Kitchen Garden. Anne Strainchamp spoke with her.